We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir?
Yes. No.
No?
Sir? It was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not.
No, it's not fun anymore. No. Not even a little bit.
Just look at that. He hit the fucking ball. That gets a free steak. You having fun yet?
Oh, yeah. I'm having a blast. Thanks.
Good.
All right, welcome back to Big Screen Sports, the sports movie podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcast. I am your host, Kyle Bandujo. Little quick housekeeping before we get into today's episode. Want to shout out everyone who's been sharing the show, rating and reviewing on Apple Podcast, and especially everyone who has joined our Patreon, especially our producer-level patrons. This show could not go without Aaron Figueroa, Mike Schubert, Steve Rogers, Kevin Frost, Mike D, Ryan Yeager, Mike Dries, James Kowalewski, and Chris Mikoski. Folks, if you go to patreon.com/bigscreensports, you can support the show. You get episode notes, you get scheduling updates. When I know, you know, you get to vote on movies and patrons' choice topics covered by the podcast. This is the first episode of November, so we're going to have some polls for December going up soon. You get stickers. Stickers are great. Everyone loves stickers. We will be hearing more from the patrons later in this episode because if you are a member of this Patreon, you get a lot of say on what gets said on this podcast. You get a chance to contribute on most episodes, so tune into that. As for today's episode, doing a little reschedule. I know we had said last week going to do the Ted Lasso season 2 recap. Alex has had some stuff come up, and I am not doing this recap without her. The queen of the takes, first of her name. It would be wrong to recap the season without Alex. So we shifted gears for today's episode. It is one that I am very, very, very excited to do. I'm just great topic. Great topic, folks. It's going to be a good one. And joining me, returning to the show, my guy from Vover Audio, Ben Cruz. Ben, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm good, man. I'm so excited about this. I'm a little bummed that the Ted Lasso season 2 recap is not happening, but I will be waiting for it next week. So I'm excited about that. But this is going to be quite the pivot for people who are expecting a Ted Lasso season 2 recap.
It is. Although,
I think in a good way.
I'll give you a little bit of foreshadowing. We are going to talk a little bit of Ted Lasso tonight.
Yeah, you gave me a preview of what's in store, and I had to believe this person was going to be in here. So
yeah. Before we get into it, Ben, what's going on at Vover? Where can the folks check you out?
You know, at Vover Audio on all the socials. You know, we've got a couple great shows kicking right now on Vover. For all you MMA fans, we have two great MMA shows in rotation right now with Daniel Cormier. He hosts this show called Debate DC where he debates fans. So if you want to debate Daniel Cormier, hop on the Vover app or come on the social. We'll explain how. And then we have another show called The Scuffle Show, co-hosted by Tatiana Suarez, who is recovering from an injury right now, but she is fantastic on the road to recovery and giving her thoughts on the current world of MMA. I'm doing a show over there called One and Done, where I ask the guests one question, they give me an answer, and that's the show. It's a short form show. I had Yvonne Orji from Insecure on today. Had the boss man, your boss man, Kevin Jones, KJ on last week. So it's fun. Come check us out of Vover. It's good times. After you listen to this pod, of course, and in the season 2 recap of Ted Lasso.
Everyone go check that out. Ben's info is going to be in the show notes, his Twitter, linked to Vover. Go check that out. But what me and Ben are talking about tonight is frankly special. Me and Ben are talking about dickheads, specifically sports movie dickheads. Just yeah. I texted Ben and I was like, hey man, you want to do an episode about dickheads? And he said yes. So
yeah, full disclosure, when you were like, hey, can you hop on the pod, I was like, oh man, tomorrow I don't know if I've got time. And you're like, I want to talk sports movie dickheads. And I was like, all right, never mind. I'm so in. The Warriors game can wait. So here we go. I'm so excited to talk about this.
Well, let's talk about dickheads in general.
Sure.
Because not all dickheads in sports movies, and just in general in life, are villains. But are all villains dickheads?
Probably on some level.
I will say though, my wife, my lovely wife, came up with a villain in a sports movie who's not a dickhead. Ken Griffey Jr. in Little Big League. He's not a dickhead, but he is the villain.
That's a good one. Yeah, no, I did some research, and he came up in the research. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I'm too big of a Ken Griffey Jr. fan. But yeah, the term dickheads is tough, especially when you receive it in an email. That's a shout out to you for sending me the link to this recording, and it just said dickheads on it. So you're right. I think when we think of sports movie dickheads, we just kind of gravitate towards who's the bad guy, who's the evil person in this movie. And I'll say most of the people on my list, I went with the top five, do end up being evil. However, I do have some honorable mentions, and two of the three on my list probably aren't evil. So the term dickheads is widespread. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're a horrible person. Like, I'm sure you have a friend or two here and there who you're like, when you're out, you're like, God, he has a couple beers. You're like, man, he's being a dickhead right now. That doesn't mean he's a horrible person. That just means he's, at this moment, he or she is probably just being a jerk. So that's really all it is.
What qualities do we usually see in our dick? Like, you look at the list, your list, what do these characters have in common? What do you, like with mine, a lot of smarminess. Smarminess is a good big one. Dickhead category.
I have brash, probably looking at this. Some irrational confidence, I think, is very, very key. Not
lack
a lot
of self-awareness.
Yes, that's a big one. And not a lot of smiling. If you can't crack a smile, you're probably just a dickhead.
But if they do smile, it's like that cocky, dickish smile. It's not a genuine, it's not like you see the smile that Jason Sudeikis gives you as Ted Lasso, that earnest I care about you smile, or I'm genuinely happy. This isn't a smile like that. It's a smile like I'm better than you.
Exactly. So those are some good qualities I think we've covered, and I think they're going to cover everyone that we're about to reveal. I actually don't. Also, for the people, we don't know each other's lists. We're surprising each other with our lists.
Yeah, we're doing this blind. So what we're going to do, we're going to run through our top fives. I'm thinking in descending order.
Okay.
And then our wonderful Big Screen Sports Patreon group, they contributed quite a few as well. Some characters that at least aren't on my list or my honorable mentions. So we're going to be able to kind of run through those, talk about some different dickheads. Let's get into your honorable mentions. I wrote down quite a few honorable mentions, just people that I want to shout out. You said you had like two or three. Who are your honorable mention dickheads?
I've got three. So, I'll start from top here. I got Jimmy Duggan in League of Their Own.
First half of the movie, I mean, probably the only time that you can consider Tom Hanks a dickhead.
Right. And look, this movie took place in around World War II.
World War II,
During World War II, Jimmy Duggan in 2021 talking to women like that, canceled immediately. He's gone viral. He's a dickhead. You're right. In the first half of the movie, he does come around in classic Tom Hanks fashion, right? Like it's impossible to hate Tom Hanks. The first half of the movie, he pushes that line. Next one I have is Dean Portman. From Mighty Ducks 2 and 3. And I'll tell you why. He doesn't seem that great at hockey to me. He just seems like he learned how to skate so he could fight people. Also, in Ducks 3, kind of a dickhead move. Doesn't join the team at Seton Hall. Joins at the end when I'm sure Bombay paid him off to just come to the school, and he shows up for this.
Front runners are, that's a big time dick move.
And he also didn't show up for the whole game. My guy showed up for the third period. Show up for the whole game. Show up for your fellow Ducks. So I have some issues with Dean Pullman. The last one on my list made the honorable mention because he's actually an athlete, but in a non-sports movie. It's Shaun White from Friends with Benefits. Incredible cameo by Shaun White in Friends with Benefits. It's one of those bad movies that I will constantly watch because Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis is just an automatic rewatch. Shaun White's cameo in it, he exudes so much dickhead energy, just berating Justin Timberlake for absolutely no reason other than that he can see that there's some spark between him and Mila Kunis. He's completely nice to Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake's dad, but just a complete dickhead as himself. So, but great role. So those are my, those are the three that I had in the honorable mention category.
Who'd you need someone to unpack how Friends with Benefits and No Strings Attached essentially came out like the same year. Like it was, cause that's what it was. Ashton Kutcher and
Natalie Portman
and Justin Timberlake and me, and Strange. So
there was just a period of time where Hollywood would do that, right? Like Deep Impact and Armageddon came out the same year.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
And then these two came out the same year. And I guess for a period of time, you know, a lot of people thought the world was going to end by a meteor and were just hooking up with their friends with with no repercussions. I don't know. There was clearly a lane that they did some focus groups and they thought they had figured things out.
It's like post-Great Recession. You sleep with your friends, I guess.
Exactly.
So my honorable mentions, Kate Bosworth from Remember the Titans, who dumps her boyfriend. Yeah, because, I mean, racism is a completely dickhead move.
Very. Most,
I would say all racists are dickheads. That's like a broad generalization that we can do there.
Yes. Also, similar though, she does come around.
She does come around. It takes, but she's it like, takes, I'm going to start working on it, which is still like...
Yeah, still
come
racist.
still racist,
but I'm working on it. Also, doesn't come around until the Titans go on a winning streak, until they're damn near the national champions or state champions, and after her ex-boyfriend gets in a tragic car accident. Just tragic. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm with you. That's a dickhead move.
Yeah. Jerry Maguire. He is a dick in the first half of the movie. Like, yeah, he has that whole, you know, that realization and stuff like that. But he's still like, Jerry Maguire is still very much like an out for himself kind of dickhead.
Wow. You're ruining one of my favorite movies of all time.
So when I covered the movie, like, that relationship doesn't really work and you don't really believe in it. He kind of just marries her because he feels like he has to, which is 1,000% not a good move. Not a good move. Jerry.
Yeah. I rewatched it a couple weeks ago. And that just felt toxic from the beginning, right?
Yeah. I can't believe that Tom Cruise had a marriage that he felt like it was something that he just needed to do instead of out of love. I can't believe it.
Right. Yeah. It's so out of character.
Must have been really tough for him to act out.
Yeah.
So this movie, I feel like at this point on this podcast, I'm contractually obligated to mention it every pod. Have you seen Everybody Wants Some yet?
No.
Okay.
Talk me through this.
You're watching Everybody Wants Some this weekend.
Okay.
Like, this is something that's going to happen. So Everybody Wants Some. It's like, do you like Dazed and Confused?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's the spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused. Essentially, it's a college baseball team. It's this guy's first weekend in college. It's that weekend in college before school starts and for them before baseball starts. It's a great baseball movie. It's a great college hangout movie. It's got Glenn Powell. It's got Wyatt Russell. And then it's Justin Street, who is the brother of A's legend Houston Street, is playing on a pitcher named Jay Niles. And he is the gotta fight everyone and take stuff personally dickhead. He's that kind of dickhead in this movie. But it's a great... I mean... I need you to watch this so we can talk about it.
Okay. No.
So I'm going to remind you. Yeah, I'm going to remind you this weekend. And then the last dickhead I've got is Kenny Powers, honorable mention.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's also great. It's tough, though, with Kenny because he's the protagonist, right? Because he's a complete dickhead.
Yeah.
But you're also rooting for him. So it affects the dickheadness scale, if that makes sense. So yeah. I'm with you. That's a great honorable mention list. I'm looking forward to your actual list.
Okay. So you hit me with your number five. Then we're gonna go in descending order. If it's on both of ours, we'll just jump into that. But what is your number five?
So number five, I'm going White Goodman from Dodgeball.
White Goodman is my number four.
Okay, so we're not far off. Look, the owners of gyms are already. I already have some questions, but yeah. he just took fat shaming to the next level. Which is ironic because then at the end of the movie he becomes so obese.
Comically was obese, gets fit, back to being obese, right? All so because of Chuck Norris,
right? So that's the thing too. Is like he was obese, so he should know the journey that it takes to get fit. And there's a whole mentality around it. You got to change the way you eat. It's a lifestyle. And then he just makes everyone feel lesser than to enter his gym, right? Like Globo Gym. It already has a dickhead name, right? He pretty much sexually harasses. I'm forgetting her name now. It's his actual wife, right?
Yeah. It was his actual Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah.
Kate Veach.
Yes.
That's her name.
Yeah. And again, dickhead
energy. Gets her fired.
Yeah.
He gets her fired.
Gets her fired.
Fired for cause, which probably harmed her career significantly.
Right.
What are you doing here? How do you know where I live?
It's called the Freedom of Information Act, Kate. The hippies finally got something right. Just kidding, but not really. Hey, I got some great news. Sit down.
What is it?
You're fired.
I'm what?
You're fired. I called up the bank and told them that you were stealing and drinking on the job. And they bought it. Can you believe it? They signed some other Johnny Pencil Pusher to my account.
Why would you do that?
I'm here to begin my courtship with you, Kate.
Right. And he also, why he's a little bit lower on my list, though, is because he's your typical bad guy, right? He just has no redeeming qualities. And he's not actually that bad of a human outside of the fat shaming. And the general greed, there's people who are
insecure.
Worse. Yeah, just deeply insecure. Yeah. So I get that. That's my number five.
I would also like to say Ben Stiller's actual now ex-wife. It's Christine Taylor. Elizabeth Taylor classic actress. Christine Taylor. My number five is Rupert from Ted Lasso. He is the
That's great.
Worst.
Damn,
the
he's five?
Absolute worst. Yeah, he's five. He I mean, you could easily make a case for one for him because he is horrible. He's,
terrible human.
Don't want to spoil this show for anyone who has. This is the I think this is the one thing on my list that did not come out over 15 years ago. So I don't want to spoil too many things, but he is horrible to Rebecca, his ex-wife. Everything he says is like just a little knife, just like poking you in the side of the ribs. It's like he's nails on a chalkboard, and he is the way too brash, overconfident dickhead who thinks he is likable.
And he leads to, again, I'm not going to give any spoilers, he's probably part of the reason, if not a big reason, of one of the other characters' big downfalls, right? So it's he passes on that dickhead energy to someone else who, at the beginning, not a dickhead. Very sweet human being. And so no,
that's a big dickhead quality is infection. The infection. You make other people worse.
Yeah.
Because sometimes like you encounter someone who's like a real piece of shit and it's just like Teflon. They just bounce off of you. But if you're like that infectious sort of bad person, that's a tough beat. You don't no one likes hanging with that person, and no one needs to be around that person. Rupert is just absolutely horrible. He is, I would say, my least favorite character on that show, even not mentioning the person that he has infected, at least helped along. He is my least favorite that show.
That's a great call. That's a great call for this list. All right.
Yeah.
It's on me now, right? Number four.
It's on you. You're number four.
Number four. I'm going Bob Sugar from Jerry Maguire.
Oh, that's a good one. Fuck. I put Jerry Maguire on my list.
I know you
I
had, you had
Bob
Jerry,
Sugar.
So I was like, shit, he might have Sugar on here too. Look, man. From the jump, after the manifesto goes out, or the mission statement, I should say, he's already plotting. The wheels are spinning. I'm going to get this guy out of here, right? You see,
he's the ambitious dickhead.
Right, exactly. And he plans out Jerry's firing, brings him to the public restaurant where he can't make a scene. And that's fine. It was probably told from above, we got to let this guy go. You got to do it. And then he didn't
make the call for sure.
Right. He had the audacity to say, how do you think I felt carrying this around all day? You know what I mean? Whatever. dickhead sentence. And then
a dickhead move to pretend like you are aggrieved about something that you truly don't care about.
Right. Cold-blooded. Just absolutely cold-blooded. And then to actively just steal or go after, not steal, it's all fair game, to actively go after all of Jerry's clients, all of them, not leave this guy with one thing. The guy who you called your mentor, you decided that this mission statement that he spent all night writing, which, again, I'd still love a copy of this mission statement just to read for my own personal, growth as a human.
Wouldn't surprise me if Cruz, like, wrote it. Yeah. I bet that's actually a thing. I feel like I remember reading something like that.
I need a copy ASAP. But he gave Jerry nothing. Not absolutely. He, at the end of the film with Rod, when Rod has that great, great game, he said, I'm going to let you have your moment. Oh, now? Now you're going to let him have his moment? You weren't going to give him anyone else? You took the number one pick in the draft, right? That's fine. That's all fair game. But like you took all the tennis players, you took all the B and C level athletes. You couldn't leave Jerry with anything.
Olympian.
Yeah, the Olympian.
With the fake tears. She's kind of a dickhead too. With also, fake tears.
But that I feel like again passing on the dickheadedness, a quality of Bob Sugar, similar to Rupert.
Jay Moore is cooking in that scene.
He's
great.
That's
like that's a great dickhead performance. Like he's really really good in that movie. He's probably I don't have the Jay Moore IMDb in front of me, but that's probably the best Jay Moore has ever been.
He's elite in that movie. He's so good.
He's great. I mean, pure slime. But that scene where the back and forth of him and Jerry calling each other's clients, and you can tell like Bob Sugar's just on the way up. Like he's
on the ascent.
Just, his ego is just going through. It's just a great great performance. Since my number four is already gone. Let's take a quick ad break before I forget.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Okay, and we're back, continuing talking about dickheads. Who is your number three? Actually, you know what? I'm going to go with my number three.
Yeah,
my,
go first.
I have a tie. I have a tie. Not really a tie, but I have two people at number three. I have Coach Riley from the Mighty Ducks, and I have Gordon Bombay, who is a dickhead.
Whoa. Okay.
Think about when we meet him. He's bragging about all the cases that he's done. He's bragging about hooking up with like a paralegal or the other lawyer or something like that on the case he lost.
Yes.
Like he's like bragging about sexual conquest to people who don't care. Number one dickhead move. He's drunk driving, which is not
huge
cool.
Dickhead move.
And because this is a Disney movie, we don't get to see it, but we have to assume that he had like a small vial of something in that car as well.
Yes.
Like
with the kids, right?
That territory. With the kids.
Yeah.
No. Just when he gets caught drunk driving. You just have to assume.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
He's got something in there with him. And then he drives a limo or has a limo drive him
on the ice.
He stinks. And then Coach Riley, I mean, having children purposely hurt other children is like, that's criminal. That potentially goes beyond dickhead.
Yeah, so I'll start with Riley. He does come around, though, and then you kind of understand the dickheadedness a little bit.
I'm still out though. It's like unforgivable levels.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I'm with you on that. The Bombay thing, I was gonna defend him at first, but I'm gonna pile on actually. I'm gonna agree with you. He also, by the way, I'm pretty sure he bangs Charlie's mom.
He does bang one of his players' mom, for sure.
Never, and then in the second movie, they just don't talk about it. Classic dickhead move. Sleeping with a single mom and then never calling her again.
And then dipping out to go play minor league hockey.
Right, playing minor league hockey. And then you just don't talk about it when you get back. You know you're going to see her son. And then you start hooking up with the Switzerland coach. Not the actual coach, like the equipment lady. I forgot her name. Man, you're right. He is a dickhead. He kind of comes.
Bombay is like a grade A sleaze. I feel really good about this one.
And then he abandons the whole team. In the third one, he goes off to like some junior hockey thing, right? Like that's his job or whatever. He just abandons them, throws them in this new private school with all these stuck up, you know, rich people, and expects them to thrive. Ugh, you're right. What a dickhead.
I feel good about this. I think I feel even better about this now.
Yeah, no, I'm getting worked up about it. But I'm glad your number three actually lines up with my number three, because I'm also dipping into the Mighty Ducks universe. I'm going Wolf the Dentist Stanson. This guy, massive
dickhead. That's a ruthless dickhead. That's a ruthless, like, ice cold, ice in his veins dickhead.
And, like, that's fine. You know, you have the bigger team. You have the more dominant physically team, right? Switzerland Iceland is just a bigger team than Team USA, right? Like, even after they assemble this superstar group of players, Iceland is legit. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with the tactics of, like, running up the score on Team USA when you have them down. Run that score up, right? This is sports. Stop them if you don't want them to score. I have an issue when you commit assault in front of like 24 people. He literally takes a hockey stick because he's about to lose this goalpost game, which I'm still trying to understand to this day. Like how is that a skill? Missing the net? Anyway, he takes such a big hack at Bombay's knee, which now that we've established Bombay also dickhead might be deserved. Still,
maybe kind of earned it.
Yeah, maybe so. Just, you know, you're everything's coming back full circle. But you still can't commit assault in front of children, right?
No, that's Disney nailing it down. Like, this guy is bad. He hurts other people.
Yeah, and this is minutes after he ruined their beach ball, which uncalled for. Just, you want to get the beach ball off the ice. I understand that. It's a sacred.
Anyone who flattens the beach ball is a villain in my eyes, no matter what the scenario is.
Also, he seems to struggle with, if you watch it back, I watched it recently because I'm just a Mighty Ducks fan. He kind of struggles with the actual squishing of it because the hockey gloves are so thick. So he's not even like an efficient dickhead. He's just a complete dickhead. But and also, Wolf, that's your name? You're named after
that. So that name is opposite ends of the spectrum. You are either the dickiest dickhead or you are so cool, like so awesome. Or I guess,
yes.
I mean, you've got like Wolf Blitzer on CNN, which is kind of like zany. So I guess that can go
that's,
off.
Yeah,
into
that's
a,
option yeah. C. Yeah.
So you're either a huge dickhead, you're the coolest person in the world, or you're just an offshoot weirdo.
Yeah.
You're not normal with a name. There's no like. There are no CPAs named Wolf.
Right. Yeah. So that's why he's my number three. He committed
assault. That's a good pick. I'm glad our threes lined up there. Roll on into your number two.
Well, I'm going to roll on into number two. And I feel good about this one. I'm surprised. He might be on your list later. I don't know. I'm going Shooter McGavin at number two.
Shooter McGavin was my toughest cut, and I also didn't put him on honorable mentions because I knew we would talk about him at some point. Because I will say, shout out to the patrons. The first patron comment we got let's see who that was. Isaac Pigott, also Shooter McGavin, as the number one. I mean, just supreme dickhead. You have the floor.
So, I mean, I get being competitive and you want to win the equivalent of what's the Masters, right? Like you want the jacket.
Yeah.
But the way you go about it, like, it's one thing to be braggadocious about it and say, like, oh, I'm going to do it this year. This is my year, right? Clearly, you haven't been doing well when the lights are on, shooter. And then now, all of a sudden, this underdog starts to play really well. And you want to squash him? Like, there's 50 other guys on the tour who might pose a threat to you, but you're upset because this guy's drawing crowds, which should benefit you as the probably pound for pound best golfer in this movie and on that current tour. And then he buys the house, right? He buys grandma's house.
Nightmare move.
Horrible. Like, I remember being a kid watching this in the theater and being just heartbroken. And this might be why, because I was rooting so much for Happy and his grandma just get the house back. And then this jackass, this dickhead, I should say, buys the house for, like, what is nothing to him, right? Money is no object.
Yeah, absolutely.
Buys the house.
Go wait in the car, Grandma.
Hey, what the hell is the matter with you?
Well, real estate speculation is a hobby of mine. Now, you lay another finger on me, I burn the house down and piss on the ashes.
What do you want for it, Shooter?
You know what I want. You off the tour. Quit. And the house is yours.
Does he stop there? Oh, no, he does not. He then puts out a hit on Happy Gilmore. You know how much of a dickhead you have to be concerned about winning a golf tournament where you're probably going to make a shit ton of money? Does it really matter if you win? Probably not. But he puts out a hit on one of the biggest underdogs in the whole tournament to run him down with a golf cart? Holy crap, dude. Like, you need to reel this in. This is wild. A hit?
Shooter McGavin is in that White Goodman space where he is supremely cocky and deeply insecure, and that makes someone make horrible, horrible, horrible decisions.
Just awful. And, I mean, I also, I'm unsure, like, clearly, you know, they paint him out to be the best golfer on the tour. I would have loved to see more of his game. You see, like, two drives, couple of putts. All right. I saw Happy drive like 500 yards like 9 times. Show me more of Shooter's golf game. Can he justify being a dickhead at least? Just a little bit? Show me something. Show me something, movie.
Shooter might have been faking it, you're saying. Yeah. Don't forget the ninth green at 9 trick.
You
know who else is a dickhead in that movie kind of is Uncle Sam coming for grandma's house.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, folks, like, my dad's a CPA. I understand. You got to pay your taxes. But come on. She's old. You can't take her house. Old,
yeah.
She's old. Like, we got to, you know, that should be a program. Like, CPAs for seniors. Like, reach out to our seniors who are struggling with 9 years of back taxes.
And that was Happy's argument. She's old.
She's old. You can't take her house.
Exactly. No, so that's my number two. Shooter McGavin. Who's on your list at number two?
Number two for me is a guy. He's not a villain in the movie. He's with the good guys, but he's not a good guy. And that's Roger Dorn.
Wow.
From Major League.
Okay.
I mean, a rich dickhead, a shit don't stink dickhead. That's not, I mean, you hate to see that. And when we meet him, like, he's lazy. He's entitled. He is arrogant. He's not a good guy. The whole movie, pretty much, until Jake shows up at his house and basically tells him to start, like, to never fucking Olay a ball again. you know, he's not even trying. And so, like, yes, we see that he gets it together on the field, but as soon as the Indians start having success, he then starts cheating on his wife. Like, he gets caught cheating on his wife. Like, that's not good either. Like, this guy, he's a clubhouse cancer. And, like, the thing is, in Major League 2, I love him. Like, he's such a goon, and he's really funny. He's just a caricature. But in Major League 1, like, from the moment you see him walking into spring training with his golf clubs and his Chris Evans Knives Out sweater, he is terrible. Like, he is not a good hang at all.
Yeah, and I mean, the infidelity thing is a great point. I mean, that's just a complete dickhead move. And, like, yeah, I mean, especially just he has like a dickhead face, if that makes sense. Oh, like, he just looks like a dickhead. So, and then to, like, again, to just cheat on your wife at that point.
Yeah. Completely. While you're on camera.
Yeah, exactly. Complete dickhead. So I'm with you. That's a great choice. I do like the spin that you're putting on. Not all of your list. Most of your list, actually, not antagonists. I'm with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Doran, like, he was one of the first people I thought of just like, man, that dude is just a dick. Like, in the first movie, he is just, like, such a jerk.
Yeah.
The thing when he brings Lou Brown his contract about having to do unnecessary like workouts or calisthenics or something, when he tells him he's got to do crunches or push-ups or whatever, like, what a spoiled ass baby.
Yeah.
Lou, I want a word with you here.
Sure.
About those sit-ups you want me to do?
I got it right here in my contract. Says I don't have to do any calisthenics. I don't feel unnecessary. So what do you think about that?
That's, I mean, this is a great call. I love your list, by the way. We got to post this somewhere because I want to relive this.
Yeah.
Each one has been great.
This is one of those times where I feel like I need to make a website for the show, or I need to do something, or at least like
a graphic,
learn how to do any sort of graphic whatsoever. We will. You know what? God damn it. We're going to post these lists. What is your number one?
Number one is actually kind of piggybacking off of someone in your honorable mention list. I'm going Ray Buds from Remember the Titans. The racist
Ray, man.
racist Ray, the racist offensive lineman. Look. That movie is about overcoming racism. And, you know, why was Ray so upset that he could not get over? Everyone else was able to. Gary was able to. Ryan Gosling's character, who's now Alan, was able to. Most of the other white guys on that team who were not named. But Ray couldn't do it. And then he put the whole team at risk, right? Like, he decides not to block for Rev on this one play where he hears the audible. We see him hear the audible, right? Lastic. Yeah. He also puts the blame on Lastic, which is like, he called the audible. It was everyone heard it.
And don't forget that when he said he didn't hear the audible, he said, swear to God.
Yeah.
Which, like, for people on Ray's team, like, they use God as an excuse for a lot of things.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean.
Exactly. And, like, look, it's I guess it's fine if you're like Kate Bosworth's character, where you're trying, or like you're still clearly racist, but you make the effort, right? And she did still a dickhead, but this guy just the winning never did anything for him. You know how they say winning cures everything in sports? Apparently, it doesn't cure racism.
Doesn't for Ray.
And I guess you know, to Ray's defense or to Ray's point, also in real life sports. Probably doesn't cure everything either. But man, like, again, he almost cost the team that whole, like, we didn't know if Sunshine was ready to play QB, but all of us, like, Rev, he knew the playbook, like the back of his hand. And then we got to throw Sunshine in there, who still couldn't make the pitch. Still have questions about that, by the way. Like, all of a sudden he just figured out the pitch. Whatever. It's, Ray Buds is a piece. He's more than a dickhead. He's a piece of shit. You can blame that out if you want, but
huge geez. Piece of shit. I mean, because in a movie full of racists, he is the person who gets called Ray the Racist.
Yeah, exactly. And I will say this: the actor actually turns the corner later in his career when he becomes Nathan Scott's basketball coach in One Tree Hill. So I will say the guy who played Ray Buds, his name is escaping me right now. As a human, probably he's probably a pleasant human being.
I'm glad the actor get over it. Man, gotta be a tough, because I mean, so a lot of these guys on this team, you know, grew up pretty, like Bertier, you know, grew up pretty racist and stuff like that. A lot of misgivings, but a lot of these guys, you know, the team has come together, they're able, you know, they might not have quashed all those feelings, but they're, you know, they're moving on with their lives, they're understanding that some of their past actions were wrong. Ray clearly learns no lessons. So he's just you got hate in your heart, let it out for pretty much the rest of his life. So, I mean, this was probably a tough last decade for him. Like, Colin Kaepernick probably drove him fucking bonkers.
Yes.
He was probably at the Capitol on January 6th, climbing those fences. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, you got to think the next 40 years for Ray were not something. Probably, like, he's in, like, the Oath Keepers or one of those things.
Yeah.
Probably a tough look for Ray.
And also, he didn't even defend himself when Gary called him out or when Gary kicks him off the team.
Are you going to kick me out for these guys?
It's like, yeah, dude. I mean, it's, oh my God. It's one of the more, I love Remember the Titans. Every time I see Ray, my blood boils and I can't wait. I'm just counting down the minutes until he's going to get kicked off the team. And it's always satisfying. Always satisfying.
He's awful. Absolutely awful. It's a very good number one. Can't argue with that number one.
Yeah. All right, who do you got? Who tops
my number one? My number one is it's a golf movie.
Okay.
It's a golfer. The consummate dick for me. Just such a dickhead. It's David Sims from Tin Cup.
I felt you were going Tin Cup once you said it was a golf movie.
He is the scene, like, he's smarmy the whole movie. He's got that smarminess. But after he cards his round, his first round in the U.S. Open, and the grandparents come up to him as he just lit a cig. The grandparents come up to him for an autograph for their grandkid. And he just hits him with the, do I come up to you on your job? Like, that thing. Well, he's got his Marlboro Light in his hand and his golf glove. Like, I mean, as, like, gross a move as possible. And, like, the thing about David Sims, the thing that I think that almost none of these other characters have, he has the self-awareness. He understands that he's a piece of shit. Like, and he kind of reviles in that, and I think that's what makes him number one for me.
That's a great call. Also, Don Johnson, he just has that look, right? Don Johnson's a legend.
The thing about Don Johnson, though, is, like, Don Johnson can go, he's good both ways.
Yes.
Like, he can be a dick or he can be coolest guy in the world. Like, I would ride with that guy. But, like, he's the plantation owner in Django.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, he's in Miami Vice and he looks awesome. Like, he's the cool, like, man, I ride with Don Johnson. I ride with Dakota Johnson. I'm
as well.
Big on that gene pool.
Yes. I as well. Big Dakota Johnson fan. But no, this is it's a great call because I guess his, in comparing him to Shooter, right? Like, David Sims is just a more believable dickhead. Like, he's not over the top with it, right? Shooter's over the top all the time.
Shooter also thinks he's in the right.
Right.
David Sims really doesn't care. Like, he's a dick and he's like,
he knows.
Like, his girlfriend goes to, you know, goes over to McAvoy and he's like, whatever. Like, he's got some new girl. He picks some new girl up on the 18th green in the U.S. Open. Like, he's just like, I'm an asshole. We're riding this thing out.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a great call by you. This is
a
great.
He's also kind of a dick, though. Roy McAvoy is also a dick. Like, especially early in the movie. Like, he's not the best dude.
He's not great. Not great.
He's Costner. We love Costner, but. He not the best. Like, he's probably rubbed some people really wrong in a bar before. He's probably said some really obnoxious things to people. He's probably said some blunt beer induced things that he may or may not regret. But, like, he's not perfect. That's kind of a lot of dicks in that movie.
I think what we're finding here is common ground is, like, if you play golf, high percentage you're a dickhead.
Also, I mean, Happy's spot on with the thing about, like the pants with the fat ass or whatever. Like, Happy Gilmore understands what was going on in golf.
Yeah, Happy Gilmore also potentially dickhead, but a lovable one, right? Like, he's a hockey player who turned golfer. So you
that one is like when, it, love when it's it. That's your dickhead. Like,
he's
with us.
Yeah, exactly. And you just have to reel in his dickhead tendencies when you go out. Right, or he'll smash a beer bottle and then try to fight you with it. So you just gotta avoid that guy.
I want to get into some of the stuff the patrons sent us.
Oh, please, let's do it.
Have a lot of good points, a lot of people to talk about. So Nick Merriam, Herb Brooks in the first half of Miracle, said he cut players with no explanation, ran conditioning drills after games, and ignored his family. The ends justify the means, but that doesn't mean that Herb was a good guy. Got a point.
That's a great point. When you read them all out loud as to why these people are dickheads, it's pretty, like, you can't argue with it, right? If I was like, well, you know, when you don't spend time with your family, it's because you're working. You just sound like a dickhead, so I'm not going to do it. You know?
Yeah.
That's a great point. Yeah. That's a great point. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, not a player's coach, that guy.
No, not at all.
So my guy Mike D, he's got two for us. He said Mark from Field of Dreams, who is the brother, Annie's brother, he said just acts like a dickhead the entire movie. I mean, what kind of asshole forecloses on his sister's farm and grabs his niece, causing her to fall and choke? Grade A dickhead. Listen, can't justify the grabbing the niece and the choke. I can't.
No.
I will say I did write a piece kind of looking at it from his perspective, not the niece thing. That's a tough look. You can't really come back from that. But like, he couldn't see what was going on. All he saw was his hippie brother-in-law had, you know, bowled over a bunch of corn. Their farm was going down. He was trying to give him a good deal from his perspective. Maybe it wasn't a good deal, but like, listen, if your hippie brother-in-law, like, and your sister who spent the 60s out in Berkeley were in Iowa and they plowed over their farm and stuff like that and built a baseball field and were saying that ghost players and Shoeless Joe Jackson were out there, you'd have some questions too. You'd wonder if things were on the up and up with these folks.
Yeah, no, but the niece thing is just really tough. That is a tough blow to your character, because once you do that, you become that guy, right? You become the guy who made your niece choke right when you grab her. So
that gets brought up at every family gathering.
Yes.
Someone drinks a little bit, and anytime Mark's saying something, it's like, yeah, well, you almost fucking killed your niece, Mark, so you can just shut up.
But yeah, exactly.
That happens every time. Every time.
Yeah.
Mike D has one more. He has George, who is Chelsea Ross's character from Hoosiers. The guy, if you remember, he tries to undermine Coach Dale the whole movie, leads the vote to get him removed as coach. Chelsea Ross actually plays a good dickhead in a couple of sports movies. He's also Eddie Harris in Major League, the guy covered in Crisco and snot.
Oh yeah.
He makes Dan Devine look like a dickhead in Rudy when he won't let Rudy dress out or put him in the game until players take matters into their own hands. That is true. He has multiple dickhead sports movie performances.
He got typecast, clearly. When they were thinking, who's a dickhead? It was this guy.
He drinks Joe Boo's rum in Major League as well, and then catches a bat to the back of the dome.
Karma catches up to you, no matter when you're a dickhead in all these movies.
Yeah. My guy, Ryan Yeager, he commented a lot. Some of these we've talked about. He said so many, not my official ranking, but off the top of my head. So David Sims, we've talked about. Shooter McGavin, we've talked about.
Yep.
Some really good ones. So he's got some bad dads in here, like a Murderers Row bad dads. Charles Billingsley from Friday Night Lights.
Yep. That's a good one.
Taping the football to your kid's hand. Roy Turner from the Bad News Bears, also abusive, knocking your son down on the mound in a fucking Little League game. And then this is the one that I forgot about. And this is like, I'm so pissed at Disney for doing this to us. Roger's dad from Angels in the Outfield, Dermot Mulroney. Never forget that there's a scene in a Disney movie where a dad signs over the rights to a child in front of that child. It is horrific.
Yeah, that is, it was scarring as a child, right? When you watch that, because you're like, wait, is this how this works? At any point?
And he's got his shitty goatee and his leather jacket, and he's like, oh, you know, sorry, kid. Like, man, you are a fucking scum lord.
Yeah, and again, in front of the kid? Come on, at least pull this to the side. You know what I mean? And like,
that's the thing. Like, Roger did not need to be there. That is tough. He's also got Bud Kilmer from Varsity Blues, who, I mean, another great abusive dickhead.
Yeah, abuse a common trait amongst dickheads.
Rachel Phelps from Major League, the somewhat like Rebecca and Ted Lasso, same kind of some similar motivations. But obviously, we stand Rebecca now.
We stand, yeah,
we stand. Chris Mikoski, he had a number one that I'd forgotten about. Have you seen Million Dollar Baby?
Yeah.
The mom, the Million Dollar Baby, Maggie's mom, who goes to Disneyland while her daughter's in the hospital. She is awful.
Yeah, no, that's that probably should have made our list.
Yeah,
Because
there's a lot of these, a lot of really good points of like these people, man, a lot of characters in sports movies, just pieces of shit. He's got Leo Beebe in Ford versus Ferrari.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Who's just like current. Cocky. Yeah. Arrogant dickhead. Probably the newest dickhead on this list.
Yeah.
Coach Red in The Waterboy. So Chris had Coach Red, Ryan Yeager had Coach Red, and my guy Aaron Figueroa also has Coach Red. Stealing Mr. Klein's notebook, Coach Klein's notebook, fires Bobby. He just generally just a Southern dickhead. Different kind of dickhead there.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I like that.
And then Chris also has Coach Kevin O'Shea in Little Giants. Fun fact for listeners of this podcast, might be an episode very soon. By very soon, I mean maybe next week.
Oh, look at that. Look at that tease. That's how you do podcasting right there, people. That's a good one. I like this. This list is incredible.
A lot of great contributions. My guy Kevin Frost, same thing. He had Coach Kilmer again from Varsity Blues, but he made a great. Do you know? Are you familiar with Rush Probst from Two A Days?
No, who is this?
So Two A Days is the MTV show. I'm gonna send you a link. Rush Probst is that's a story. All you folks, and I also want to say that Rush Probst, I believe, recently was very sick from COVID-19. I hope he's doing well. That being said, he's a major dickhead. He is essentially Coach Kilmer.
I just Googled him. He looks like him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's multiple, like, he has multiple downfalls. He's worth a good Wikipedia. Like, that guy has, like, had a downfall, come all the way back, had another downfall. It's really, really incredible stuff. Kevin Frost also had Dan Devine from Rudy, mentioned by our guy Mike D. And that makes sense for Kevin because he is a Notre Dame guy. And then the last one that has not been mentioned yet, Aaron Figueroa, he said Jack Parkman from Major League 2. Aside from the slick Oakleys and shimmy, the guy called his teammates out in the media. That's a no-no. I do love the Parkman shimmy, though. The Parkman shimmy and the home run and then the light jog where he just holds his bat and then he hands it off to the bat boy. That's like, that's king that's good. Dickhead shit.
Yeah. I wish someone would do that in real baseball, like right now. But you can't call it your team. That's a dickhead move.
No, completely that's dickhead that, move. that never, ever, ever works. But I felt like you and I, we could have expanded our list to 10 or 15 easily.
Yeah, even as we were talking, there was some that came in my head. I was like, oh, why not at least put this person in the honorable mention? Ricky Bobby should have probably been
Ricky
on the
Bobby's
dickhead list.
Dad.
Ricky Bobby's dad also.
Ricky Bobby's dad, huge.
Also his
huge dickhead.
His ex-wife, Carly Bobby.
Oh, Carly Bobby, yeah. The Carly worst. Bobby is such a dick. Yeah, we didn't really get into it with many female dickheads, but there's plenty of female dickheads in sports movies.
Yeah, she would be up there. But no, this was, I think we gotta like put a list, this whole list together, like our mine, yours, the Patreon list. This is a great list of people to just keep an eye out for when you're watching these movies, and you might just look at people differently. You might watch these movies differently. I don't know. I know I am. Not like I can't. You might have ruined Mighty Ducks for me, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
Bombay
I mean,
is just a piece
this
of shit.
Is also a situation that we'll post this up, and there will be a bunch of replies of like, "Yo, you forgot about this person and this person and this person." Like, everyone's got a favorite dickhead.
Yeah,
I mean, just so many. You know who's a female dickhead? Cameron Diaz in Any Given Sunday. Her character,
that's a good one.
Stinks.
Yeah, she's the worst. That's a good one.
Well. Let's wrap this before we go down. And if any listener wants to run through this episode and count how many times we said the word dickhead, I would love to know. But Ben, as always, this is great. Appreciate you helping me out. I needed to talk about this week, and you came through for me. Always a pleasure to have you back on the show. Tell the folks again where they can follow you. Check out what you're doing at Vover.
Nah, again, thanks for having me on. It would have been a dickhead move for me to say no. But no, you can follow me on Twitter at Cruise Control. That's Control with a K. Follow us on Vover at Vover Audio across all socials. And tap into all our shows where you get your podcasts. We got, you know, Debate DC, Scuffle Show, One and Done, amongst a bunch of other things. So, but do that after you listen to Big Screen Sports here. Kyle, thanks for having me on. This is honestly It's always fun. I've never not had a good time on the show. So keep having me back. This is too much fun.
Of course, man. You are always welcome back. If you enjoyed this episode, please remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, rate, and leave a review. Episodes come out every Monday. I'm not entirely sure what next Monday's is going to be, but the first place you can find that out is the Big Screen Sports Patreon group at patreon.com/bigscreensports. And if you're a baseball fan, go check out my interview series From Phenom to the Farm that is presented by Baseball America. Comes at you every other Tuesday. Tomorrow on that show, I have an interview with Randall Thompson, who is a former pitcher in the Blue Jays organization and founded the company Dugout Mugs. If you're unfamiliar, they are the ones who have turned barrels of baseball bats into mugs. They are fucking sweet. You should buy one. Go listen to that show. Listen to this show. We'll catch you next Monday. Thanks for listening.